What is up, everybody? Today we are talking about the 2020 presidential race and a lot more on Black Hollywood Live's The Trend. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Live's The Trend. I'm your host, Daryl Kristen. Joining me today is a full panel, as you can see. We got, wow, you guys are color coordinated, but we have Courtney Stewart in maroon.
What up, y'all?
We have Jesse Janity in maroon.
Hey, I didn't wear my lipstick this week.
It's called Oxblood.
Okay, Oxblood, excuse me. But we have someone who is not in maroon, but he is a megastar. You've seen him everywhere, and his name is Chad L. Coleman. We are glad to have you today.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all, he came
suited up.
Into Black Hollywood. Live.
So, you know, that was that, you know, that was that Walking Dead money, the Wire money, the Orville money. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Trying to get some of those checks.
All the money.
The money. But we glad to have him because he came in right with jokes today. So I like that when the guest comes in with jokes.
Yeah. Dude, I am.
We had a little debate on what we were going to come in with because we just went to see or interview the cast of Rent Live, which is premiering on Fox.
Can't wait.
Sunday night. And we were debating playing Carl Thomas's Summer Rain for y'all old school R&B people or the intro to Rent. So we're going to go out to Carl Thomas.
Okay. But make sure you guys check out those interviews over at BHL.com.
That's right. A lot of good ones. A lot of good cast.
Lots of great ones.
Well, we're going to start off, Chad, I don't know if you've watched the show before. We like to start the show with a little video, social media of the week, like a hot little video that's been viral that we all need to comment on, apparently. So we're going to start. Which one do we got, Courtney?
We got a trending clip of, you know, some positive, happy, joyness going on at the Philadelphia 76ers games. It's two kids were in the stands, and they just decided they was going to dance battle. So y'all check it out.
Oh!
All right, so we don't have the clip, so...
That's
it would be the first link at the top of the...
Yeah, right, it would be the... If you keep...
Boom. I thought this was a remix.
Was really
I thought
cute.
Someone. I didn't right, think that this was actually at
oh,
the game.
Hold on.
I thought someone put this together. And
I did too, actually, when I first saw it.
Actually was at the same game, and they really were competing against each other. It was hilarious.
It was hilarious. And it was also very fast. Like, those kids' bodies, like, it seemed like somebody edited the video and sped it up.
I was just thinking, I'm old.
Or
that too.
That too, I guess.
That too. They got serious, y'all.
His face, he never breaks that.
No, but this kid was real serious, though.
Broken arm and all.
Right.
He was like, oh, you took your shirt off? I'm taking mine off. Okay.
He must know his mother has insurance with that broken arm.
Wait, I think he hit his mom in the face with the sweater.
Oh, ouch.
Wait, he gave the... Right.
Yes, okay. They got serious, and then he put a little salsa on it.
He did.
Oh, my gosh.
The dude next to him is crying. He's laughing so hard.
I would have died.
His mother gave him a lot.
His mama gave him a lot.
Your mama gave you a lot, buddy.
Chris
Farley would be proud.
Yeah, I mean.
But you are not.
I don't know if you want to box or you want
to. The other one, right? This is so real.
So that is the clip, and everybody is talking about it because it's fun. I mean, when I saw it, I did think it was edited, though.
Yes.
I didn't realize it was like the actual straight up footage.
So. They actually said when the cameras went off of the kids, the crowd started booing and was like, put them back on because they were still dancing. So
that was good. I can't lie. That was good.
That's the best part of going to some of the games sometimes. Sometimes some of them are so crazy.
Yeah. I've never seen anybody like kids like stripping off their tops. And
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, they really went for it.
He was like, are you taking your shirt off?
Yeah. It got real.
Yeah. Usually I just see them people kissing or people not realizing that they're on camera. And you're watching them not realize that the camera's on.
Them kids
which
saw,
is always cute.
Yeah, yeah, that's always funny too. And then they realize the last 3 seconds. They're like, oh, hey. Look at me.
Well,
3 seconds of fame.
New generation, they was like, we on camera, we gonna do this.
Oh, they went for it. Yeah. They really did.
And you do that dance all the time, right, Chad?
Well,
It's a little different.
Only in the shower.
And it's a little slower.
It's a little slower. To that Carl Thomas.
A little bit more old school.
A little bit more Carl Thomas.
Yes. No, yeah.
So it was all love for the kids on Twitter, but Miss Taraji P. Henson did not get love this week because she was on set and she was scrolling. You know, you can screen record your phones, and she wanted to show. It was funny because if you remember, our old host Char is actually the reason she had tweeted. She was like, "Have y'all seen Taraji's story?" So I went over to it, and Taraji was searching through Instagram for the hashtag #MuteRKelly. And she came across it, and, you know, it has over, like, 80,000 posts, 29,000, you know, tags, all this stuff. And so afterwards, then she goes and she searches the hashtag Mute Harvey Weinstein. And it was literally 26 posts. Mm. And then she posted, or she said her last comment was, and then it went to an emoji with the thinking face. And... you know, this was to say, like, comparison, like, you know, oh, we're saying mute R. Kelly, but we're not saying mute Harvey Weinstein. And Twitter went in on her and was like, Harvey, one, is not an artist. Two, like, this happened how many years ago? They're creating documentaries on Harvey to take him down, like, and they just did not appreciate this. So people are starting to say, if you want to mute that, why don't we mute what men want?
Oh,
her new movie. Because Erykah Badu is also in that movie, and she's also somebody who has, you know, said that she's not going to mute R. Kelly.
She just got dropped like 2 weeks ago at her concert.
She did.
Because she said pray for him and
she got in trouble for that?
Oh, yeah. People were in.
Very upset. They said she took a moment.
I understand.
Yeah.
But
show.
Did you see her tweet? Though,
well, Taraji deleted the video after it started getting whatever, and then she tweeted, oh, is it what?
Well, Erica? I'm talking about Erica's tweet today. Defending herself, because she said, it was basically something saying, don't let the incense fool you. And
she posts that all the time. Don't let the incense fool you. Quote 45 real quick.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
Quote 45?
Yeah, she went Quote 45 with it. She had the brown bag with it, too.
Back in the day.
Oh, she's crazy.
She posts that every time people really come for her.
When her kids had them little white kids in the basement, they were playing baseball in her basement. She walked down, it was a few weeks ago, and she was like, the hell are all these white kids doing in my house? And she scared all the kids. I was like, Erykah Badu is crazy.
I love Erica, though. I mean, the thing with Taraji, people took it too far, I think.
Twitter took it too far?
I mean, I think they shouldn't be coming at her movie and coming at her because, I mean, both of them should be muted. So, at the end of the day, you know what I mean? So it's already a touchy subject, but they came at her movie. It's like, okay, well, we'll just not, what are they saying? They're just not going to see her film, you know? Just
why did they take it so personal as far as
she's
concerned? Like, why go that hard on her?
I think people are feeling, the people that came so hard probably feel a little bit extra victimized because there's so much chatter, especially in the Black community, about, oh, well, if we're going to do this to R. Kelly, we need to do this to everybody else, and sort of taking the weight of what he did wrong and trying to, like...
Or maybe politicize it in a way.
Yeah, because they're making it, a lot of them making it, it's the Black man, and they didn't do... Just like they did with Bill Cosby. I mean, it was the same thing. And I think that it's kind of frustrating at a certain point, because it's like, nobody is saying that we shouldn't go after all these other people that are doing these things.
Right,
but that doesn't mean you should go after R. Kelly any less because of it.
Right.
So I feel like the fact that there's... When Erica is saying things like, oh, we got to love him through. Are we going to fault the victims if they do something wrong? And yes, because you still did something wrong. And yes, you were also a victim at some point in your life, but you still continue to do something wrong. And you have not had to atone for it. You have not had to take any kind of responsibility for it up until now when Sony has finally dropped you.
What would happen if R. Kelly came out and said, all of a sudden you just saw him just weeping like a baby in a fetal position and just... Mea culpa, oh my God, this is insane. I'm sick, please help me. I really want to do better. I want to be an advocate against child molestation. What do you think would happen?
I think that would be amazing. I think there would be a group of people who would say, wow, that's the first step for him to for people to see, like, wow, you realize that you did something fucked up, and now you're taking your first step. And because it's what Ayanla basically said, like, he don't even know how to even take the first step in taking the fault on this. So I think that that's huge on his behalf for him to do it. You're still punished, and you still did what you did, and it's still to be talked about. Because not only that, we loved you for how many years with the thought of knowing that this probably was true.
Then that is what I wish for R. Kelly to do.
Yeah.
To find that.
To find that.
Find that place.
I hope he does.
Yeah.
I mean, we as a culture, black culture especially, we're more forgiving. So I think that they would be willing to forgive him versus, like, if Harvey Weinstein did it, I don't think he would be as forgiven in other communities. I don't know.
Well, the most unfortunate part about it is this was birthed out of victimization.
Right.
For sure.
But see, the real story is, how do you handle it? And how do you take responsibility for it? Because if you don't, it will do a number on you. And that's not advocating anything that he did. It's simply to say, people, if you're out there and you've been victimized, you're going to have to get in the driver's seat on it. You're going to have to admit what's happened to you. You got to get the appropriate help you need so you can help somebody else. Otherwise, you will probably end up in a very dark, just horrific place.
Yeah.
You know.
And I don't know if R. Kelly will actually ever really give an apology. I feel like unless he just hit rock bottom completely with it, where everyone turned their back on him, I feel like that would be the only possible way.
Well, if I didn't believe in redemption, that would be problematic for me. So I have to have hope.
Yeah,
that in humanity, that there's that seed is still inside him,
that
and maybe some way, shape, or form, it will take root, and he could, you know, turn this thing around and do some good out of it. You know, that's the best we can hope for.
That's true, and he's got kids.
Yes,
he does. And they've been very outspoken about it as well.
And
his
they've
daughter,
been through their own traumas themselves. You know, in his household, outside of his household, and all that. So, praying for all of y'all and wish for them to, or for him to, step up and do something better.
I just say, if Chad decides to not be an actor anymore, he should either open up a church or be a therapist. Because the way he just delivered that, I believe him. Like, that was a nice little, like, I felt like I was like, at peace. Yeah, I felt at peace.
Welcome.
After he said that.
Maybe a lot less hostile.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we need some Chads in the world right now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Pass that plate around. Each one of you. Put $100.
Okay, well, now I think we're turning
this around. Now we're going to another place.
Too much. I couldn't handle it.
All the responsibility.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Woo! Well, all right. Well, speaking of passing the plate around, somebody's about to be passing the plate around trying to get all y'all to make some donations to her because she finally announced it, y'all. Miss Kamala Harris is running for president 2020. If you don't know who she is, she's the current senator for California. She's a former attorney general in California, as well as a district attorney in the San Francisco area. And she announced on Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, not his actual birthday, because his birthday was last week. Y'all missed that. A lot of y'all didn't post it because you were off work. But I'm not mad. Anyway, so she came out. She gave her, she announced on Good Morning America in a lovely, sweet announcement. And everybody got really excited, and a lot of people immediately, like, went out and showed their support for her. But along with all of those that immediately showed her support, there's a whole slew of people.
Right? The haters.
That, I mean, I wouldn't call them haters, actually, because facts is facts, y'all.
I mean, okay.
Concerned people.
So we went through this with Barack Obama where it was like, black man, yes, we're on black man's team, like what have you. And some people are cautioning the community against that again because Ms. Kamala Harris obviously is, you know, looking out for the black support. She's half Jamaican and half Indian and from Oakland. And, you know, everybody's like, yes, black brown woman president, we're going to be great. But obviously she was also a prosecutor. So she has a very, you know, easy to look up history and career in terms of some of the decisions that she has made. And many people believe that she ain't really down for the community, y'all. And a lot of choices that she made in her career helped, you know, perpetuate the mass incarceration system that is detrimental to black and brown communities in California specifically, and of course across the country. And she has not shown as much progressive action as she would like us to sort of believe right now, because she's sort of speaking in this voice that she is going to be running as a progressive with these new ideas and all of this, but her record is not showing as much. And basically, you can look up things online, but there's a bunch of different things that have happened throughout her career. One being that people keep bringing up quite often is that she came up with and truly harshly enforced this law on truancy in schools in California. Right. It started out in San Francisco as a local thing where basically kids that are consistently truant from schools, their parents can be fined like $2,000 or end up in jail. And she eventually spread that statewide, and people obviously had an issue with that because it disproportionately affects poor Black and brown communities. And you're jailing moms because their kids are late to school. Additionally, she also supported a measure that allowed this. I was like, I didn't even realize this one, but did y'all know that in California, if you are arrested and they get a blood sample, even if you are not ended up charged or go to trial for anything, they can maintain your DNA sample and they can utilize that sample in other cases or what have you. Family members' DNA can be used to sort of track down and solve crimes from other people that might be related to you, because obviously you have similar DNA. And for those of you that have issues with privacy rights and things like that, like, that's kind of scary. That,
can you ask for it back?
No.
You know, I'm like, Could I have my sample back, please? Could you delete that sample, please?
They can keep that on file and do at will with it. And so, some people had some issues with that. And there's a variety of other things, like in terms of the death penalty and all kinds of things. Because she was a prosecutor, she was a DA, then she was attorney general. So it's right there in our faces. So anyway, lots of people are kind of saying, like, you know what? Kamala Harris is not who y'all think she is. Don't buy into the hype because she's playing her black card right now. Because she ain't really for the people. And then the Republicans immediately started their new birther movement against her, saying she's not an American citizen.
She's not an American citizen. I saw that. I saw that.
Because her dad is Jamaican. That's the go-to. Her dad was a Jamaican immigrant. Her mom was an Indian immigrant, but she was born in Oakland. If you're born on the soil, bro, you're a citizen.
You're a citizen, yes.
So, so that's what's up with 2020.
And Cory, the rumor is that Cory Booker is going to...
There's a nice long...
Also run. Right.
Okay.
So basically, we're going to have what happened with the Republicans in 2017 is basically what's going to happen to us again, because there's supposed to be probably about 40 plus Democrats in the primaries that we're going to be choosing between. Right now, we've had about 7 people already announced. We got Kirsten Gillibrand, who's a New York senator. Julian Castro, former Texas mayor and former HUD secretary, is running. John Delaney from Maryland. Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii. Richard Ojeda. Elizabeth Warren announced that she's also running. Andrew Yang is an entrepreneur in New York who thinks he can do a better job in a business sense than Trump. And then there's all the possibles that have not announced yet but are very likely to possibly announce, like Joe Biden. Bernie Sanders might take another run for it. And there are some reports that Hillary is actually considering doing it again.
Really?
Yeah. And Eric Holder, who worked for Obama, Michael Bloomberg. There's a nice long list. So we'll have a lot to choose from and lots of research to do and enjoy for the next year and a half. Next year and a half, guys. Cheers.
It's going to be a lot.
It's going to be a lot.
There's going to be people who pop up even more. I just feel like, I don't know, just with all kind of information on everybody.
It's
about to get dirty.
It's definitely
going to
get dirty.
Especially after this Trump stuff, I just feel like it's going to get real dirty.
Interesting. And it'll be interesting how much we hold people's past versus what they're going to say now.
Yes.
Because, like, especially in, obviously, Kamala's case, like, love her as a senator, not sure she was doing so great by us, what have you. So which one do you believe? Do you go with what you've seen her do for years, or do you go with what she seems to be doing now?
Right. But then it's like, that's the fine line, because it's like we get all these promises that are empty, and then they're not delivering the promises that, you know, we've seen them say that they're going to do for years.
So that's why the track record is probably better source.
It's like
but it makes me sad, because I wanted her to win so bad. I wanted to be on her team really bad, but I got serious second thoughts.
We'll see. All right. Well, that's going to be an interesting race for sure. I can't wait for it, though. We need some change.
It's already started.
So next couple of years is going to be very interesting. All right. So we're going to move on to our EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
Well, speaking of race, this is a different race. This is a race to the Oscars, because the noms were just announced this week. And we were just fighting just a couple years ago of Oscars So White. There seems to be a slight change.
A little peppered change
in the nominations this year.
Come on, Pepper.
You know, a little pep. You know, the biggest one that I still say is huge is Black Panther is the first superhero movie that's nominated for Best Picture for the Academy Awards. We got to give kudos and claps to that.
Shout out to that.
That just changed the game in so many ways. It's still forever. it's going to be forever for a while. It's also nominated for Best Original Score, Best Costume Design, Best Visual Effects, and Best Original Song with Kendrick Lamar's All the Stars. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I just feel like they're going to rack up. That's just my gut feeling.
It's
in my gut. Also, Mr. Spike Lee, he's got his first Oscar nomination for Best Picture for Black Klansman. Mm-hmm. Now, he has been nominated twice before for Best Screenplay and Best Documentary, but this is
never
Best Picture. Mm-hmm. So, the list goes on and on. You can get the full list on CNN.com, but some of the other things, Green Book is also nominated for Best Picture. Actress Regina King is nominated for Best Supporting Actress in her role in Bill Street Could Talk. Mahershala Ali, nominated for Supporting Actor for Green Book. Adapted Screenplay, Black Klansman, If Bill Street Could Talk, are both nominated. Original Screenplay, Green Book, and the list keeps going on. So, I mean, we're seeing a little bit of speck of color that's slightly changing the noms this year. What do you guys feel about everything with that?
I mean, yay. Yay on one hand. I'm actually interested. Did you guys see Green Book?
I did.
Did you like it? Enjoy it? No, you loved it? Okay. I'm curious about...
You loved it? You loved it?
The performances were wonderful.
Okay.
Yes, but, I agree okay. with that.
The performances were wonderful.
Okay. I'm just curious, because they're nominated and they've won so much, and obviously mm-hmm. Mahershala did an amazing job,
yes,
and he's already...
And Viggo,
you
both
know,
oh, absolutely.
Did fantastic. Yeah. But did. I'm sort of interested in how, even with the controversy surrounding what that film actually was, how it kind of stayed on top of that and people looked the other way. Do y'all know what the controversy was?
This was the family
story.
The story was the eyes
of the Italian, the son of the...
And it wasn't accurate, and the family is very, very adamantly against it and upset about it. And just in the times that we are in, and I know this was trying to get made for quite some time, but then it still recently was made in these times. Like, how that was able to be sort of overlooked and everybody seemed cool with it. I'm just curious.
I'm going to you know what? Mahershala, that was a wonderful performance.
Wonderful
performances, and also what he had to say about it. You know,
yes.
I went to look to see what he had to say, and he said that you know when he read that script that it was speaking to him, you know, right away. So I will not discount the experience of, actor of his talent and training. So I want to just acknowledge the fact that that's the experience that he had. So, and I have profound respect for him as an artist. So I just felt like I would leave it there. But I did do my own research on the real guy.
And it's
incredible.
Yeah.
There's a documentary on the real guy as well. So if people want... You know, if this hubbub gets people to learn more about the original guy, how about that? And then, you know what? There's room for another movie.
There is.
So maybe that's the way to go with it, you know.
Again.
People have strong feelings for sure.
Yeah.
I did, too. But at the same time, you know, you're just conscious and aware and just, you know, mindful of what you put out there. So My whole approach was, let me see what Mahershala, he did such an amazing job.
Yeah.
Let me see what his perspective was, where he was coming from. And he had such a great experience. So I said, you know, I will reserve my personal for my personal.
Are you surprised about the nod for If Bill Street Could Talk?
Oh, no. Yeah, again, I mean, you're coming from a titan, man. You know, everybody loves and now I just based on his name.
Yeah.
But we... James Baldwin, you know, amazing. So I thought it was a beautiful homage to that powerful man.
Absolutely.
So I loved it, and I'm happy for them. And Barry Jenkins is a hell of a filmmaker.
Absolutely is. Like,
dude.
Yeah.
Marvelous.
You got the goods, brother.
Yeah. So
keep on turning. We need you out there.
Yeah.
And, of course, I want to work with you. I'm selfish.
Hey, you manifesting that right now. It's in the universe.
Speak it.
The truth.
Yes.
We'll follow you to your church.
And I just.
I will
but
follow
we will not
you.
Be giving you $100.
We will not be giving you $100. Maybe minus 95.
The suit is from Zara, yo. The suit is from Zara, okay? So get the visual. A little swagginess over here.
But affordable.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, speaking of swag, you bring all that swag to your roles that you do, man. I've watched you for a while. I actually do the Walking Dead after show. So I was always a fan, for years of you prior to that. And let's throw in The Wire, which is still the best, one of the best
still
TV shows.
Yeah.
Still for waiting for somebody to come back with The Wire.
With
20.
We're only 80 years old. We're doing the movie now. It's in a retirement home. The Wire in a retirement home.
You said they was going to pick us up today.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Y'all are great.
You're going to town.
My knees is burning. That's
a but if you ain't going to eat them potatoes.
Right. If you ain't going to eat them potatoes.
Get that tater tot.
But you also currently are starring on Fox's The Orville.
Yes.
And that is that's getting a lot of burn as well.
Indeed,
so you definitely pick great projects to work on.
For sure.
Seth MacFarlane is a genius, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just love people who are brave enough to push the envelope about serious topics and approach it from so many different angles. And we can laugh a bit, and it's thought-provoking as well. So if you can give me those two together, I think you got something good going. And that's what he did with this hybrid thing he's got going with the Orville. And I'm having a blast on there. And, you know, the bucket list is always to be in prosthetics, you know. I'm the black Alan Rickman. Galaxy Quest. You know, a lot of these things come from, and that's what I love about sci-fi and horror. You know, they just evoke that childlike quality in you, those things that you wanted to do, and you know, and they take it and just expound on it. And you know, I think it's a great ride every week.
And then this is season 2, premiering in December 30th. What, for people who haven't watched the show yet, how would you describe it, and how would you describe your role?
Oh, well, it's an homage to Star Trek, and sci-fi has always used this genre to take on different issues, you know, like the first black kiss on TV was on Star Trek and things. So they've always used that arena as a way to try to move a conversation forward, you know, open people's minds more. So I was always down for that kind of deal. And it's funny and serious, and that's not easy to do. And Seth put his finger on the pulse of it, and he was right on. And people initially were like, well, what is this? You know, what? Mm-hmm. You're talking about the sex change of a baby?
Yeah.
How is that going to?
Right.
You know, and we pulled it off, you know. Yeah. So I think the dude is, again, I don't throw the word genius around lightly. He's an incredibly smart dude and very wonderful to work with, a great cast, very smart people, everybody all in, everybody wanted to have a lot of fun and just open some eyes. So, you know, if you can do that for an hour on TV once a week, it may help a bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I know Seth's name was also thrown around for hosting the Oscars.
I never really heard what happened
after that, but...
He said it's a hard gig to do.
That's what everybody says.
In the current climate, you know, boy, to step into that one. But I think it's interesting, no host.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens.
It's kind of intriguing, actually.
I'm going to sneak in, and I'll just go up there
and just be like, hey,
they're like, was he on the list?
Right. No, look, they ain't gonna say nothing to you because you're black. They scared. You can just go up
they
there.
Be like, wait.
This could be my
this
shot.
This could be the year.
Right?
If you're gonna do it, this is the year. Go up there and just be black.
This is my shot.
All the producers ain't
nobody
gonna
say nothing to you.
We're inclusive.
Right.
Y'all,
right.
If you need me to be.
So I was like, are you sure you're supposed to? Excuse me.
I'm black.
Really? Hello.
Hello.
Give me this damn award.
Meryl Streep, how you doing tonight?
Right. That would be a really funny
let's take a selfie.
Yo,
that would be like some Sacha Cohen.
Someone
that's
should
a great
do that.
Idea.
I know. Somebody should do it. And if it happens, we know where it came from.
You heard it here.
You better get a check. All four of us get a check.
Don't you know who I am? Get
that your, would be hilarious.
Somebody get their cell phone. Get yourself. They trying to deny me. I'm the host, damn it.
That would be really funny.
It would be hilarious.
That would be great. That would be great. Oh, boy.
That
had me crying. Like, I can visualize it, actually. That'd be great. You also, now this is what's intriguing me, too. You're also starring in the Lifetime Michael Jackson movie, Searching for Neverland.
Yes.
Based on the book, Remember the Time.
Yes.
And it's based off the conversations from the security guards,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, the last two guys, and especially Bill Whitfield, man, the dude was amazing. Mike comes home with no entourage, you know. He was overseas in the Mideast working with this guy, supposedly going to do this big album or maybe even like 10 albums. That didn't work out. And he's back home, man, with no entourage in his pajamas and, you know, needing protection, man. And the level of humanity and the move away from Wacko Jacko and to really try to honestly show the depiction of this man as a father, which he was, you know, I could totally identify with that, and Bill Whitfield did as well. And so it was just an opportunity to humanize the man, you know. Mm-hmm. He went through so much, and some of which he contributed to.
Absolutely.
We talked about that, but at the same time, he loved those kids.
Okay.
And he was a father.
Yeah.
And he was doing the best he could to try and raise those kids. He had a school, you know, in the house. You know what I mean?
Does it talk about if he's the real father of the kids? Because there's always been that conspiracy theory that, you know, I mean, the Jackson genes are real strong. And people can look a variety of different things.
Yeah.
But none of those kids.
Blanket does.
People say Blanket looks like Michael
Jackson.
I don't
think
Blanket looks like he looks.
Look at Blanket's eyes.
I don't know.
Blanket's eyes look just like Michael and Janet.
I'm not convinced.
I was a child of foster care. Okay? So even if they weren't his,
they were his. They were
is
his.
He a father?
That's true.
So that's
true.
The way I would look at it.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's true.
He took care of those kids.
He took care of them. So this is going to give us a different look at
a lens,
him
yes.
completely.
And you're going to, you won't, there won't be a dry eye for sure.
Really?
No.
Okay.
What's one
and thing? It's tough, man. I mean, it's tough being Michael Jackson. It was tough Michael Jackson,
right.
man.
What's one thing that sort of surprised you that you maybe didn't know before when you started working on that project about Michael?
Let me see. You know, Mike likes hot sauce.
Hey.
He was black.
On his popcorn.
He was
in
black.
The theater. He brought the bottle
he still
with him.
Was black.
You understand what I'm saying? We're going back to Indiana.
I was saying he was from Indiana.
You understand what I'm telling you?
Aww.
Please.
Did any opinion about Michael Jackson change once you did the film?
It landed way more for me because, see, those images of Mike and the baby swinging out the window and the veil and stuff, it was there, you know, and that's the tough thing. It's hard to get that imagery out of your head sometimes, but, yeah, that's where I felt a genuine sense of the man as a father.
Okay.
And that was really moving. And also, it was just tough, the relationship with the family,
right,
you know.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, he was almost sometimes a man in the high tower, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, and then the whole, just so many people see an opportunity to make money off this man.
Yeah.
Who do you trust?
Right,
you know,
yeah.
I thought I wanted to be moonwalking Michael Jackson, but no, when you get behind the veil, you don't want that, man.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So
that's a lot of fame.
Exactly. Yeah. And to try his best to be a good father through all of that, you know, I walked away with another level of compassion for the man and hoping that people, this new narrative will sustain somewhat, you know.
Yeah, and when will it be premiering?
Well, it already has. It's been out.
Okay. Oh, wait. I just saw that it was just coming out. Okay.
Right. Well, that's probably a repeat, but that's good, too.
Okay.
Daryl's just getting to his DVR set.
Right. Yeah. Well, listen, it's backed up with that. Everything. Netflix, everything.
Watch it again.
Well, I definitely have to check it out.
Yeah, you do. It's worth seeing for sure.
What's one role? I mean, you've played so many different genres. What's one genre that you would love to kind of tackle, or one role that you haven't kind of step foot in, like a dream role for you?
No, I think I would like to play Iago on screen.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. I'd like to do some classical on screen with a different little twist to it, you know? Always trying to open people's minds, you know, move away from the narrow perspective of who we are. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love that.
You can play different cards. You want to play them. You say, see, this is how vast we are.
Welcome to the world.
We can do it all.
Yes, we can do it
all. I can play Cuddy and Iago as well.
Yes, you can.
And picking the roles that you've picked, been some of the greatest roles, in, you know, as we've watched on TV, have you seen a lot of change throughout the industry, and do you think that it's something that is really legitimately sticking as far as for African Americans with the roles that are being offered, with the projects that are actually being considered and greenlit now? Mm-hmm. Are we in a place where we're going to have longevity with that, do you feel like, as an actor?
We always have to be mindful. We always have to stay on top of it. You know, ignorance is very powerful.
Yeah.
And people who have a lot of money and power sometimes can think narrowly.
Sure.
So we have to continue to challenge and continue to shake it up. But there's so many more platforms available now.
Yeah.
So I think that gives us a lot of space to be able to take advantage of that and be able to show a lot of different depictions. It's just so important for us to know, you know, we go from A to Z too, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So no one wants to just be stuck in some narrow perspective, you know what I mean? I think everyone wants the opportunity to show that we have much flavor, many different colors and notes to play, you know. So.
Yeah.
That's what but we have to continue to be intentional. We can never go to this. For me, a very dangerous thing is post-racial, mm-hmm. you know. You know, hey, look, you know, if you smoked for 20 years and you try to stop, you understand, that's a difficult thing to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so that conditioning will have you falling back, you know, so you have to stay on top of it. Think of it like that.
Yeah.
You know, we have to stay on top of it because it was years and years and years of conditioning. And that reprogramming doesn't happen overnight, mm-hmm. doesn't happen because you get a black president. You know, it happens because people make a concerted effort to be honest mm-hmm. about what has happened, and let's try to move forward. A bit of what Joe Biden said to him, you know.
Yeah.
Said, come on, guys. Yeah. We got to admit it. First thing we have to do is admit
it.
That it's a problem. Oh, my God. He's got me into his church.
I'm signed up.
I try to lighten it up. I'm not trying to preach to anybody, but you know these are very deep and complex subjects. So,
I think we have to make light of it at this point.
A little bit.
Otherwise, we're going to be upset all the time.
Think about it. Go look in the mirror and, you know, talk to the man in the mirror. See, I'm going to keep this full circle.
Yeah, I like this. Now the song's in my head, Chad. I want to sing it.
No, you know what? Personal responsibility. Seriously, though. Yeah. Come on. Each one of us, look in that mirror for real and ask yourself, who am I? Those in Hollywood who are in profound power, look in that mirror. Who am I? Mm-hmm. What am I doing? What are we leaving for our children? What kind of America are we leaving, you know? And take that very seriously and don't be so selfish. Open up.
Yeah.
Open up. Let everybody in the party. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good party when everybody's there.
It is, man.
It's way more fun.
It's way more fun.
You know what I'm saying? All kinds of things can happen.
All kinds of things. And you mentioned
some new dance move.
We know you're a dad. You mentioned fatherhood.
Yes,
tell us about Date with Dad.
Oh, my goodness. That is near and dear to my heart. Angela Patton, she has an organization called Camp Diva, man. This girl, she came up with this because a very dear friend of hers, her 4-year-old daughter was being watched by her nephew. The little girl crawled under the bed, found a weapon, and I need to say no more, right? Mm. So when that happened, you know, she took that tragedy of her friend and turned it into this amazing organization that's transforming the lives of young African-American girls. And so these young girls, we're exposing them to everything, you know, finance and from finance to fashion, whatever it is, this opportunity to shape their minds and help them grow and know that anything is possible. So that's really, really great. And then we said, you know what, again, we have to be intentional. Because the narrative is, oh, the black community is not taking care of their families. You know, they're not interested. And so we have to be very intentional about what's going on with dads and daughters. And so we come up with the Date with Dad dance, right? Which is, you know, everybody dress up. It's just, you know, it's got some Cinderella feel to it, you know. But it's our community loving on each other. And it's a beautiful thing to be a part of. But one little girl was like, look, I'm not going to the Date with Dad dance because my dad is in prison. And the other little girl, out of the mouths of babes, innocent, said, well, why don't we just take the Date with Dad dance to prison? And you know what a political quagmire that could be.
Yeah.
And that's so. But here is Sheriff Woody. They go to Sheriff Woody. They let the girls present the case. He says, yeah, we're going to do that. Come on. And it was huge. So to go inside the prison, and I took my daughter in there, and believe me, she was like, yo, Dad. What's up, homie? What you do?
We already did part one.
What you do? Right, right. That's what you do. Right. I didn't do anything, sweetheart. We go in to support others. That's the thing for me. You know, we're so quick to just write people off.
Yeah.
A daughter needs her dad, period. You know that. So he made a mistake. But come on, guys, let's be about redemption. Let's be about fostering that relationship. Because out of something unfortunate and tragic, good can happen. Yeah. But we've got to be willing to be intentional about doing that. And that's what happened with Date With That, man. So it's pretty amazing. It's taken off in other cities. So it's just, I'm proud of my city and proud Richmond, Virginia, and proud of who Angela Patton is and proud of the community and proud of those girls. Proud of my daughter, you know?
Well, kudos to you. We need more men like you out there for sure because, I mean, this is a great program. When I was reading it, I was like, this is dope.
It is. It's, you know what? All we want to do is leave something better for our future. That's the best you can do as a human being. You know, try to leave it better off than it was when you came. You know how people say, just straighten up before you leave, please. Damn. Come in my house.
That's real. Well, where can fans find more about this program, you, your projects, the Orville, you know, everything?
Oh, I'm at Chad L. Coleman, okay. Across social media, and Camp Diva's at Camp Diva, you know. And just, please go to the site, guys. You will be so proud of what's happening, man. You know, you just get, if you expose kids, that's part of the problem. Yeah. You know, they're living a very narrow, like, just haven't had any type of exposure. The more you expose a child, the more their imagination grows, the more their self-esteem grows, and all of a sudden you got a citizen in the world that's contributing and really making America great.
A lot of people think it's exposing them through on screen and showing them these things, but when you get them there in person, what that does to them, that's the so idea.
Yes, indeed, bro. That is very real.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go, Jesse. Look, you can be in the church.
Boys and girls club. Exactly.
Y'all can start the church together.
We got a deacon.
Okay.
We got a deacon over here. In the front, passing the baskets.
No, y'all ain't holding the baskets.
what you trying to say? Excuse you.
I seen you at that rent.
Snap.
Dario is one to be snatching up some free food.
Listen, I like a snack. I like a free snack. Is there something wrong with that, a free snack? I'm just saying.
Absolutely not.
All right, Courtney, where can fans find you when you're half shoulder? You're giving some Jennifer Beals over there.
I was like, wait, what? Okay, yeah. Hi, guys. You can find me everywhere all over the social media universe at Stuart Starlet.
Jesse.
Hey, everywhere at DJ Jesse J.
You can find me at Dario Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and soon to be season three
Coming
of This
back.
Is LA on CBS. Yeah. I'll be on that as well. Chad, it was a pleasure
talking
to you. We're playing Summer Rain because of you, man. Even though it's not summer and it ain't raining.
No, it just did.
But it's just the jam. So, you know, thank you for coming in, man.
Thank you. A little bit of old school R&B to take y'all out.
And check them out on Fox, The Orville.
Yes.
Yep.
Tonight.
It's on tonight. Thursday nights.
Set your DVR.
We'll be there. All right, you guys have a great weekend.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.